Today on Straight Talk Africa, we celebrate the beauty of Mother Africa, the diverse and vibrant culture, its unmistakable music and dance, scenic beauty, African couture, and mouth-watering cuisine. The beauty of Africa is next on Straight Talk Africa.
Hello and welcome to Straight Talk Africa live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, March 2nd. I'm Esther Gidoi-Ewart.
Wednesday to you, Esther, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today we'll talk about the beauty of Africa.
And coming up later in our social media segment, we'll share your thoughts on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, when it comes to emerging economies, Africa is receiving a lot of positive coverage, especially in the Western media. Perhaps it is because the continent boasts some of the fastest growing economies, best tourism spots, plenty of natural resources, rich culture, great music, and a growing middle class. My colleague Paul Ndiho has more on Africa's beauty in this report.
If you were to read any economic forecast on Africa written by the World Bank, IMF, the African Development Bank, and other multinational corporations in the last couple years, you'd notice that Africa's narrative is changing. Many economists say in 2016, sub-Saharan Africa's GDP is expected to grow at 4.5%, making it the fastest growing economic zone in the world. As a result, many international firms are setting up local and regional operations. Tourism on the continent is said to spur more economic growth and directly employ more than 7 million people by 2021, according to a World Bank report. Another study titled Millionaire Tourism in Africa says that around 43,000 multimillionaires visited Africa. South Africa was the most visited destination for the super rich. Other destinations include Nairobi, Kenya, Masai Mara in Kenya, the Serengeti in Tanzania, gorilla safaris in Windy Forest, and Bujagari Falls in Uganda, Victoria Falls in both Zimbabwe and Zambia. The UK-based World Travel and Tourism Council says the influx of tourists means more money coming into the continent, accounting for nearly $50 billion in revenue in 2015. The continent prides itself of having the best land for exploring real beauty. For example, African mountains, savannas, and rivers are by far the natural assets found on the continent. The hospitality sector is experiencing unusual rapid growth. According to the report, sub-Saharan Africa is benefiting most from the expansion of hotel chains and the corresponding increase in the number of available rooms. The vast continent is so rich and diverse in its culture. This is not from one country to another, but within individual countries, where many different cultures can be found. Africans are rocking the fashion runaways in New York, Paris, London, and primarily promoting Africa's fashion industry and lifestyle brands. Perhaps even more importantly, Nigeria's Nollywood film industry is rising in popularity. It's a $5 billion industry churning out nearly 3,000 movies each year. Since its inception over 20 years ago, the Nigerian movie industry has remained one of the largest employers in the country. And analysts said that the industry earns the third highest revenues in the world after Hollywood and Bollywood. We certainly cannot talk about Africa's beauty without talking about music, which is very much a part of the continent's culture. If you're passionate about African food, then you have something in common with a lot of Africans. They are passionate about making Africa's mouth-watering food locally and even continental dishes. That has earned them the title of the best cooks in the world. Most African dishes are comprised of a rigged portion of sauce or fish, goat meat, beef stew, and this trend is evident everywhere you go in Africa. Paul Ndiho, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. And joining me here in the studio are my distinguished guests. We'll be joined shortly by Leith Kevinar Shantu, a designer with African Allure, David J. Saunders, CEO at Benue International Professionals, and David Bandy, VOA host and producer of African Beat. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
And later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Let me start with you, Mr. Saunders. Africa is so endowed with beautiful places to see, and you are in the tourism business. What are some of the hottest spots in terms of tourism, and why?
Well, I would say in West Africa, Ghana still is the ultimate location to go to in West Africa because of the rich culture and the people themselves. But I also think that there are other places in West Africa just as intriguing. Cameroon is now starting to come on the cusp because of the people having the DNA sampling being done. That's very interesting to them. Of course, Southern Africa, there's so many destinations, but you have to start with South Africa. But my favorite is Botswana and Namibia. And I would say going towards East Africa, Mozambique, Tanzania. And I just went to Madagascar, and it's a very, very fascinating destination because of the exotic wildlife.
And you haven't been to Kenya yet.
No, I've been to Kenya many times.
Definitely. And I'm sure, David, you can talk about tourism in Sierra Leone and so many other parts of Africa.
I was just going to say he hasn't been to Sierra Leone yet.
He hasn't been?
Yes, I've been to Sierra Leone.
Trust me, the comments and the tweets and the Facebook will be dealing with all parts of Africa today. Uh-huh. And definitely a continent that is rich in so many things, including music. David, you're the host of the African Beat. Let's talk about music. Because for me, maybe one of the things I think about when I think about Mother Africa is traditional music. But tell me, what is the most compelling in terms of music? What kind of music would that be?
Well, for presently, you know, yes, traditional music has been there. You know, the African traditional music has been there. And right now, when we look at music from Africa, we particularly focus on something we call Afrobeat. You know, these days, in as much as when the music started a long, long time ago, like in the 1940s and 50s, you know, music was taken from like, African music was taken from like Cuba, taken down to Africa, like to the Congo, you know, and this music were transformed from the Cuban style of music to the rumba that the Congolese call rumba.
Yeah, you hear the rumba, you know. Yes.
But these days, we have, the music has developed in such a way wherein the music from West Africa in particular, like from Nigeria and Ghana, the hip life, you know, has been transformed to become the Afrobeat, where you have a new style of music like the Azonto from Ghana, you know, with Peace Choir coming with their own style of Afrobeat. You know, this has taken, it has taken over West Africa, and it is taking over Africa, because even from East Africa, when you hear them sing now, it's like what they're singing in Nigeria and Ghana.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that stands out almost in every music you think about from Africa is the drums.
Well, that you know, because that is what makes the beat.
Yeah.
You know, like on my show, I said the power of the beat is in the African beat. You cannot beat that. Without the African drums, without the drums, there is no African music, there is no African beat. So the drums are very, very important when it comes to African music.
And I'm sure you'll walk us through some of the jargon in terms of instruments that people have to play. And we can never get enough of music. But again, coming to you, Mr. Saunders, well, like I said, people have been sending us comments, and I'm sure Mariama will take it over, but they will tell you, come to Egypt, come to North Africa, go to South Africa, go to Kenya, go to Mombasa, and all those places. Go to Freetown.
Go to Freetown.
And see some of those historical sites. But then what really do people want to see, especially you coming from Africa, I mean from the United States, and especially when it comes to African-Americans, connecting with their roots in Africa. What do you say, this is where you need to go, this is what you should see, and this is what makes you, Mr. Saunders, feel so much at peace and at home in Africa?
Yes. Well, I travel all over the continent of Africa, 32 countries and counting, and I tell people to come to Africa so you can find yourself. You need to really discover your roots, but be open-minded. Don't come there with a predisposition about what Africa will be, because the best experience you can have is to discover Africa. Discover the people, discover the cuisine, as you stated, discover the music. The wildlife is fantastic, but just the ambiance of being in the motherland, the individuals will find this fascinates them and they will want to come back.
And the hospitality sector. When you look at the hospitality sector, these days, many, many African governments are working on that day and night to make sure that once the tourists come into their country, because it's such a high income earner, that people are entertained culturally. You go to Sierra Leone, there's the taste of the culture of the Sierra Leoneans. There's the taste of, you know, the culture of Uganda. Mm-hmm. And so what do you see in terms of that? And what are the challenges? Is that industry doing well now? Because as we heard from my colleague's report, Paul Ndiho, you know, last year alone, that sector has fetched Africa a whopping $150 billion U.S. dollars.
Well, the main thing with traveling to Africa, particularly for African Americans, is the long haul. When they look at the distance and the time required to get to Africa, it gives them a shock. But we tell them that's just the experience of repeating the passage, the middle passage that came over, now you're going back. And once you get there, experience and enjoy yourself. Have a fantastic time in Africa. But the cost of Africa is quite phenomenal. Once you get there, the rate of return on the income, U.S. dollar is very strong. There's so much to see and do. And right now, this is the best place for tourism destinations for African Americans and for all Americans.
And for all other tourists coming from other places, David, let's get to the music. Like we said, you can have beautiful places to see without music. It starts even with the tourist cars. They start listening to the music as soon as they land at the airport.
Yeah, and I think some of the first things that they look for when they land at the airport, you know, is when they hear the music, they look for where the sound is coming from, what instruments are being played, you know. Because, like, when you have the djembe drum, you know, the djembe drum, you have what we call in Sierra Leone the kondi, you know, that is being created from, like, aluminium pan, you know, with keys on top of it. I will look at that and call it, like, the balangi, which we'll say originally is the keyboard. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the original keyboard, the balangi. You know, it's all wood, and when you hit it, it gives you different sound, just like when you're playing the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get people like this, as soon as you enter into a country, and you're being welcomed with voices like that, and instruments like that, before even the guitar started coming, you know, you're being welcomed with instruments like that, you begin to feel at home. Because these are stuff that you don't hear where you come from. You don't hear that all the time. So when you go back there, those are some of the things you begin to look for. Things that you're not used to seeing or hearing in the United States or in Europe. But when you go to Africa, you look for them. Because that is what you're going to look for, something new. Mm-hmm.
That is Africa. It brings in the uniqueness of the continent. And I'm sure Mr. Saunders will agree with you, because when he goes there, it's a totally different atmosphere when you listen to the music as you traverse the various countries, whether it's Southern Africa, Eastern Africa, or Western Africa. Mm-hmm. And then again, David, there's the Northern African music. If you think about Ethiopia, for example, they have very unique music.
Yeah.
You know? And they have different instruments. But still, it kind of stands out. It's like every country has its own thing that kind of identifies with the people and with the culture.
That is the beauty of Africa, and that is the beauty of the culture of Africa. Because for every area of Africa that you go, we have different cultures, you know, between different styles, and even the music, the drumming, the dancing, you know. And that is why, you know, sometimes when we come from Africa, we come to the United States of America or any other parts of the world, some of us tend to forget about our culture. Mm-hmm. People are doing that. They tend to forget about where they're coming from. And I'm not saying it is bad to adopt to the country where you are, but don't forget where you're coming from. Because when you forget these cultures, you cannot pass them on to your children. And then the whole culture is going to die. Mm-hmm. So that is the beauty. So when you go there, you know, like you talked about the Ethiopians. Mm-hmm. The Ethiopians, they've got some beautiful music. And when they dance to those music, mm-hmm. whether you want to enjoy it or not, you're going to enjoy it because their dancing goes with their beat.
Mm-hmm. David,
it goes with the kind of beat that they
have. Take it from there, because we are concerned about losing that tradition. We're concerned about being, you know, adopting to other cultures and not passing along mm-hmm. to the younger generations what we've been taught. But let me pause for a short break now. We would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Africa Beauty. And we're still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
And welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing the various kinds of music, David, and talking about the fear of losing the African traditional music and the way the African music is, you know, played. Whether it's instruments, whether it's the language, how it's culturally inspired, how do we protect that from, especially making sure that the younger generation get to understand that music and what this is all about?
Well, before we think about how we can protect, let's look at what is happening right now. What is happening right now is the African music is being fused into the Western music, you know? And that fusion has taken over so much because, you know, that fusion with the Western music into the African music has taken over so much that people now tend to easily forget about the traditional. And that is what we should not forget about. There could be the traditional music and the fusion can still work, but because we want the younger generation that are coming up to know where we're coming from, what our music used to look like, what our clothing used to look like, the way we dress, you know, the way we move, the way we dance, the way those used to look like. We have to make sure we maintain those, because if we don't maintain them, like I said, we are definitely going to lose them. And so we need those legacies to be passed on. Now, people with those ideas and those knowledge will live on for a certain period, but if they don't pass that on to the next generation, then definitely we're going to lose it.
All right, David, thank you so much. And now I want to introduce to you our guest, Lit Chanchu. Lit is from Cameroon, and she is with African Alua. Lit, you're very welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Actually, let me just come to you and talk about the African fashion and design, African couture, and definitely it's making some headlines internationally now. We see African designers on catwalks everywhere in the United States, in the Europe. What really stands out? What really makes the African clothing really unique?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. I'm very honored. What makes African clothing unique? I think it's the celebration of color, the celebration of the culture. As you can see, I'm wearing one of the African prints, Ankara. But through this print, you can see I'm actually from Cameroon and I'm Bamileke. And just like some Egyptian writing, the Bamileke tribe also had some. So we use our fabric to celebrate our heritage. And I think that that's what stands out when it comes to the African fashion. As you can see lately, the African fashion has become a blooming, not just because of our celebration of our culture, but also because now African themselves design their clothes and produce their clothes and put it out there. For so long, there was like design like Jean-Paul Gaultier or like even BCBG, they did that. But we didn't know the African face behind the brand. But now we have actually African who go out there and is trying to put the brand to the same level as Gucci or Dolce & Gabbana and things like that. So whenever you want to be acknowledged, if you push for it, you'll be acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been doing.
And especially when it comes to colors, because, wow, yeah. They are bold colors. You know, they're versatile. Most of them handcrafted. It takes a lot of work. But like you say, and I see you have a couple of fabrics here. Maybe you can show me the first one and tell me what kind of fabric is that?
Yes, this is the most used fabric in Africa. It is Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the Ankara fabric. It is the most used because like all country in Africa use it. Even though we have like different pieces that is easily directed to like one country specifically or another. Mm-hmm. Like this piece that I bought is a lot of people from Burkina Faso actually handmade those ones. And it is not particularly from Cameroon, but when you see this and you see the way it is done and you see the color, you can easily identify, you know, with
A lot of people lead think that most of the African clothing is more kind of directed towards the women and not so much about the men. Even though David is here and he's all so well-dressed with the African attire.
Well.
But there's a kind of much more emphasis on what women have to wear. Why is that so? Well, are we coming up with a kind of a gender balance here?
Well, yes, it is definitely more about what women have to wear, but also like men tend to be more less complicated than women when it comes to dressing up and things like that. Mm-hmm. But lately, men has also very been involved, especially in Nigeria. They really, really embrace the culture of wearing the African fabric. Generally speaking, people, when they go to work, they want to dress professionally. And we're so accustomed to the idea that looking professional goes with the suit. And so, therefore, that suit idea tends to take away from men, where women can play a little bit more with the style and whatever they can wear. But lately, you see men wearing African suit done with Ankara. You know, yeah, they would, you know, play with the shirt and things like that. And you also see this artist, for example, Jidena. He's very famous in the American, but he also like always wear Ankara tie or Ankara pocket. So even though they don't expose it as much as women, they're always trying to play with the fabric nowadays. And it will get better and better, I think, with time.
I'll get back to you, Leet. Let me turn to you, Mr. Saunders, again. Let's talk about the cultural events. When you organize these tours and you've been to Africa and, like we said, many, many countries of Africa, the cultural events and how influential they are in terms of boosting tourism in the continent.
Well, it's very important. You know, you have the typical musical and arts festivals that attract great attention of Americans, as well as the Arts and Crafts Panafest, the Roots Homecoming. They now have in Cameroon. They also have a similar Roots destination trip. I think also that people in Africa are creating even more cultural, musical, thematic tour destinations for people to be interested in. And that's the most important thing, because you have to have something that gravitates the person, that helps them see themselves being a part of Africa that gets their interest.
Do you think Africa is really exploiting those natural resources? When you look at, go to Rwanda, for example, you look at all those volcanoes. I mean, it's a sight to behold. You go to Uganda, you know, you go on a safari, mm-hmm. and you see all this wildlife in East Africa, Southern Africa, South Africa, for example. And it's just some sight to behold. Some places like in Kenya, where I come from, mm-hmm. you even have breakfast served in the wild.
Yes.
You see the game wardens are watching. You see the hippos lying lazily in the rivers.
Yes.
And you enjoy your breakfast there. You don't have a care in the world. I mean, why are we not exploiting this and making sure that our economies are powered, especially so by tourism? What do you think? I mean, I'm sure you talk to all the... Your tour company, you have partnership with many Africans.
Well, a big thing is the ministries of tourism have the least amount of funding to promote and market their countries. And that's the one thing they really need to work on. There's been a heavy emphasis on marketing the Europe climate, but the clientele in America are just as eager and they spend more money. They stay longer and they really want to connect with Africa. But the money for marketing and tourism in America is scant. And it basically comes upon the travel tour operator to spend most of the money to promote the destination, which could be quite expensive for them. So we need more help from the ministries of African tourism and from the airlines. The airlines can also be very instrumental. Like the American Airlines to promote Hawaii, they promote Jamaica, they promote all these other destinations. We need to have the African airlines be more visible in promoting the destinations.
Very good point. And I'm going to turn to my fellow Africans here in the studio, David and Lit. But David, when you look at Sierra Leone, for example, I mean, some of us, how much do we even know about our own countries? And how much do we know as Africans about other African countries? Do you see a challenge there where we need to start going from one place to another? Because
yeah.
A lot of people don't know even the neighborhood.
Oh, yes, yes. You are so right. And that is why I talked about losing, because we don't know. And those who know don't pass it on. And like what David was saying here about like the African Airlines promoting, you know, helping to promote the tourism and cultural industry in our different African countries. I want to believe that, because like Sierra Leone, first of all, I'll say that Sierra Leone is one country that have the most natural beaches in the world. In the world, I will not even look back to say that, because our beaches are all natural. They were not built. They are natural. Our sand are natural. So if we don't teach or we don't let people know about this, we don't expose it to the world, expose the good parts to the world. Because one thing that is being reported about Africa into the world is all the bad things. Anything that is bad, that is what is being reported.
That's why we are here today, to change the narrative.
So I want us to start looking
yes.
at the good side of Africa.
Yes.
Like when you go, you're doing tourism. When you go, take out those good pictures, those good videos, bring them out. Like when you go to those beaches, like I'm talking about natural beaches in Sierra Leone, mm-hmm. with the white sand, clean water. I've been to beaches in America. And you don't want to go into the water.
Oh,
some
people have put it on Facebook and
yeah,
others.
And you compare the two.
The pictures.
You understand?
And which one is America,
which one is America? they will definitely choose the clean one. They will think it is America, but it's actually Africa.
Yeah. Wow.
So these are the things that we need to showcase.
Yeah.
We need to showcase that good side of Africa, our tourist attractions, those good, because people are living here to go there. Seeing is believing,
yes,
you know?
Seeing is
but,
believing.
The world needs to know, and that is where the media comes in. Tell
right.
the world about the good things that Africa can
you're
offer.
You're right, David. Not to say that America is not beautiful. America is beautiful.
It
That's
is beautiful.
Why we are here.
No, it is beautiful.
So,
I'm not saying it's not beautiful. I'm saying that.
It's a beautiful country. And so, Lit, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Cameroon in terms of scenic beauty before we take another break.
Yes. I do agree with
David
says. Mm-hmm. Just like many Africans, I guess, I left Africa at a very young age. And so when I came into another places, I was more concerned about, you know, getting into the new culture and adapting and things like that. And so as things goes and life goes, you tend to forget your roof a little bit. So for me, at home, it was very important with my mom. She kept repeating things. My dad, they kept telling me about my culture and things like that. And at some point, I get to the point where I was like, okay, I'm feel comfortable where I am now. It's time for me now to celebrate also where I originally came from. And all of that is too personal. So as, you know, citizen, as parents and everything, it is a big responsibility. We definitely need to keep, you know, promoting, you know, where we came from. And like he said, it's not just promoting at home. It's like going out and coming out with the African fashion line, like, you know, my mom and I did, you know, because people here also want to know where we come from. They want to celebrate with us. And so if we don't show them that, then there's no way for them to know besides maybe what they see on TV or things like that. So, yeah, it's very important. Celebrate through images. I mean, the internet is out here now. There's no excuse. We can definitely promote, even if we're not journalism or we're not, you know, there's definitely many ways to promote.
To promote the African continent. Let me take another break, and you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here's Mariama. Mariama, over to you.
Well, thanks, Esther. And I have to say, before even I go into the social media segment, that I wish I could wear African every day, because I have to tell you, every time I wear African clothes to work, it's like it's a princess. It's like the African princess has come in. It's like everybody stops whatever they're doing. They come to me. Oh, my gosh, what is this fabric? Who made this? The head wrap. So sometimes it might be too cold for me to put on an African outfit. But if I could, literally, I would wear it every single day. Now to the social media segment. When we ask what's the best place to visit in Africa, we got flooded by all kinds of responses from Tanzania to Egypt to Ghana and Liberia. There is a lot to see in the motherland. So still to come, we'll reveal some of those fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now here is our letter of the week, from someone who says Egypt occupies a special place in his heart.
Omunua Okubo from Abuja in Nigeria writes, Egypt is a place every human being should make an effort to visit in his or her lifetime. It has so much to tell the world about the history of Africa and humanity in general. It's rich in art and natural science, also in architecture and religion. One has certainly missed so much wonder and information if he or she has never visited Egypt.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African Beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Indeed, welcome to Straight Talk Africa live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Esther. Everyone knows that Africa is a vibrant continent with rich cultures, music, clothing, art, great food, scenic beauty, abundance of natural resources. I don't even know where to stop. There is so much more. And this leads us to our question of the week, asking, what is the one place in Africa that everyone should visit in their lifetime, and why? Well, we asked the question, and you certainly answered. But before we begin with your passionate responses, I'd like to thank you for using all our social media platforms to communicate to us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA Africa Beauty. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us at VOA Shaka. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Nada Anderson in Uganda, who writes that his favorite place is Kirigime, of course. Another tweet from Sandy Narty from Ghana, who writes, The Elmina Castle in the central region of Ghana is the place. It gives you a feel of how the slaves were transported. And speaking of which, Gorée Island in Dakar, Senegal, would also fall into the same category, we can say, since for many African Americans, it was the last stopping place before boarding through the door of no return to be transported to America. Let's take a look at one last tweet, this time from Abel Elibariki from Tanzania, who says, Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania because of unique features like wildlife, but also it is indeed the highest mountain in Africa, and it's snow-capped. Let's now turn to our Facebook followers and go to a comment from William Kokulo in Monrovia, Liberia, who writes, I think Liberia and going to see Wologizi Mountain is one of the best things to do. It's a green forest with several natural resources that now hosts Liberia's mineral reserve. It is worth visiting. Well, Esther, all those places mentioned are absolutely breathtaking, but some do have a significant historical value as well, like the places mentioned in Ghana and Senegal. Your take.
Mariamba, this is very interesting. I'm wondering if my employer can give me a 1 year leave so I can visit all parts of the continent. But I can see you have so many more comments. And like you talked about the clothing, Mariamba, when you come in with the African attire, everybody looks out to you, and especially when you have the headgear, which...
I know. In fact, I actually don't always put the head wrap because I'm wondering sometimes when I get into the metro, sometimes I have it so big that I'll be like hitting people left and right. But it is very popular. I have to say my self-esteem certainly goes up. On days when I wear African clothes, everything stops. From the time I leave my house, from the streets to the metro to the cafeterias, everybody is just curious. Hey, you know, where is this from? Who made it? And then you go through a whole conversation. So it's very nice.
Have one there. Beautiful, gorgeous dress there. So I gather you have more from the social media sites.
Absolutely. Let's go to actually Martin Nyalusi, who writes that in Tanzania, you can visit Mount Kilimanjaro. It is very, very popular. A lot of people wrote about that. But he says also where one can also see the two giant glaciers of Kibo and Mawenzi. Other good places to visit are the Ngorongoro crater and the Maji Maji Museum. A lot of things to see and to do, definitely, in Tanzania. Let's take a look at one more post, this time from Bob Noble Mayembe, who writes, Victoria Falls, of course, in Livingstone, Zambia, is beautiful. It is a must-see for sure. Esther, of course, once again, just breathtaking views about those places mentioned by our writers, our followers, I would say listeners and everything in Tanzania, but also just many other places. And I want to actually ask Mr. Sanders out there. In the beginning of the show, he mentioned a few countries, and Esther talked about the fact that have you visited Kenya, and Vandy talked about what about Sierra Leone. And I'm going to add right to it and ask about Senegal. Have you visited the beautiful West African country of Senegal?
We will definitely address that.
Yes, I've been to Senegal at least 12 times in the past 20 years. It's phenomenal, wonderful. It's the closest destination to go to for African-Americans and Americans in general. 6 hours later, you're in Senegal, Dakar, Senegal, and you get to experience the fact that you're on the motherland.
Well, you know, everybody's fighting for their native country. It's magical Kenya. You have to go to Kenya. Thanks, Mariamba. Couldn't agree more with you. Indeed, Africa is endowed with such beauty. And so let me turn to you, David, here, because we've been talking tourism, we've been talking clothing, and we will talk about it and music. But what about food? What kind of food? Are we talking about the West African cuisine, for example, if I come over there?
Oh, well, I think one thing that is becoming more popular now in West Africa is we call it kankankan in Sierra Leone. It's called kankankan in Sierra Leone. And the suya, the Nigerians call it the suya, yeah. You know. That wherever you go, even here in America, It is all over the place when you want to get some real quality West African.
So before we start salivating here because it's lunchtime, thanks, Mariamba, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thank you, Esther, and thank you to our guests. Obviously, Africa has 55 countries. It's a lot of countries, and everyone should champion their own, and every country should be visited because each of them is unique. It has its own specificities, its own beauty, its own people. So each of them works. That will do it for this for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. A reminder that the show is streaming live today, live every Wednesday. In fact, go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk about African cuisine. Join host Shaka Sally, his guest, and I as we discuss tasty African delicacies. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
And welcome back. Today, we're talking about the beauty of Africa. My distinguished guests are late Kevine Chanchu, a designer with African Allure, David J. Saunders, CEO at Venue International Professionals, and David Bandy, VOA host and producer of African Beat. And David, before we took that break and before all the social media reports from Mariama, we were talking about Africa's food, and you saw next week, Shaka will be here with guests, and it will be hot in the studio. But let me turn to Mr. Saunders first, because you're visiting the continent of Africa from the United States, and definitely you've sampled some of those African cuisines. Tell us a little bit of what you loved about the African cuisine.
Well, I love the peanut soup, jollof rice. I love Nigerian food. It's a little spicy for me, but I'm getting used to it. Ethiopian food is spectacular. You cannot experience true Ethiopian food unless you've been in Ethiopia. So I don't mean to apologize to the Ethiopian restaurants here, but you must go to Ethiopia to experience the actual Ethiopian food. But everywhere you go in Africa, the delicacies, the cuisine, it reminds you some way that you've been here before, because your grandma has probably made this for you at one time or another, but you didn't call it African food. You called it soul food, but it's really African food.
The soul food, and we're getting into that culture where we grab stuff in the stores and take it in the microwave, and so the next generation may not know how to put in together that peanut soup or the food. Lit, what do you think in terms of food? Because you can't talk about African beauty without the food. What are we missing here? What do we need to pass along?
Well, I think that, you know, Africans are doing well, I think. There's more restaurant, African restaurant in D.C. and Maryland that, you know, it was like 10 years ago. And also, the fact that the cuisine itself is people rethinking in ways of, like, you know, adapting the food so that it could suit many more, a larger branch of people than usual. I think that we're doing good. Just like he said, you know, some of my favorite roasted fish. Soya is definitely one of the favorite. I mean, it's Nigerian, but it's also in Cameroon. So they like food that you could identify with different places of Africa, just like the peanut sauce. So I think that we're doing fine.
We're doing fine. Yes. And David, when you think about food and African food, the most amazing thing is what I hear from here with my American friends is that, well, we have the same ingredients here. You go to an American store, you buy the same rice, you buy the same fish, you buy the same vegetables, but the key is how you make it.
How you make it.
And so it becomes the Kenyan fish, or the pilau, which is spiced rice with lots of garlic and plant-based spices and herbs. And so the aroma of the food, I mean, it calls you from the neighborhood. They keep asking me, what were you cooking?
What were you cooking?
We need to come over and bring our kids to eat
what
some of
the stuff. What
smell
is that?
So why is that so? I mean, because the food is still here, but we have that diversity in terms of how we make it. And then, of course, we give it a name.
That, well, you see, that is part of our culture that I've been talking about that we should not lose. The culture of passing, of teaching. You know, when we were growing up, our parents taught us how to cook. Like in Sierra Leone, we have the most popular food, which is the cassava leaf. So if you've been to Sierra Leone, David, and you did not try cassava leaf or potato leaf, then it means you've not been there. So you need to try that. You understand? And you talked about the peanut soup. We call it groundnut soup, like the peanut butter soup, like Liberians call it. You know, all this, you have a system of how you put it together. It's not just about putting it, it's not a microwave thing. You have to learn how to do it. So all that is part of the beauty of the culture that we should not lose, because children from Africans are being born here. And if the parents do not teach these children what we are being taught to them by their own parents, then definitely we are going to lose that. You know, like she said, we have a lot of African restaurants now in the DMV area. I don't know about other places, but a lot. I went to Texas. There was this big Ghanaian restaurant there. And you get the real food there. You know, like we talked about the Ethiopian restaurant. I didn't know what injera was. But because I have friends that are Ethiopians, you know, when I started eating injera, I couldn't stop. You know, when we come to the office, we bring our cassava leaves and our potato leaves, and we ask you, oh, what kind of thing is this? Mm-hmm. What kind of food is this? And you tell them, this is from my country. And they start eating it. They will say, ooh, it's spicy. But they will not stop.
They will still eat. And it's very healthy food. And like Mr. Saunders pointed out, and much of this, like here, you think about soul food and you think grandma. You know, grandma taught me how to bake this. Mm-hmm. And we as parents now, we don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. And so let me turn to Lit again in terms of fashion. And let's talk about dressing the African person from the head to toe. Because one of the things that is missing out is the shoes. I don't see a lot of shoes that really stand out and say, this is made with African fabric or some sort of African grown cotton. Something like that. Are we missing out in terms of accessories, or do we have enough to go around? If I need to wear African wear, I need a handbag that is African, I need a necklace, I need earrings, but I also need a shoe.
Well, no, I don't think that we're missing out, simply because Africa is, you know, it's a tropical place, so it's kind of hot. So you see a lot of sandals that are made. There's a lot of African designer that does amazing sandals, and because of the weather, we don't wear like boots like here in America and things like that, so that's why it would be hard to find like African inspired mm-hmm. boots. But the more we move forward with fashion, the more we tend to incorporate everything in whatever we do, since we live here and then we still want to wear the culture, the more you see those things coming. But I don't think that we're missing out, because the basic of it is where it came from.
It's weather related. Sometimes you look at the weather, and yeah, much of Africa, and especially sub-Saharan Africa, is warm. So in terms of what you wear, like Mariama mentioned, if it's winter here, she may
exactly
not be able to wear the African. What about when you look at the colors? Some are subtle, some are very bold, mm-hmm. you know. And you can't even talk about African clothing without thinking about the hair, especially for us women, the braiding and all the weaving and all the things that go on. But thinking very, very traditionally, what stands out in terms of hair?
The braid, the afro, and then the wrap.
And now they're going natural. Most people are going,
they're going,
you know, natural.
Mm-hmm. I was recently surprised yesterday. I was actually watching a video of Chanel, and there's this model. I don't know if she's African or not, but she's there with her afro, which is a big, huge step in the fashion industry itself. So it's just me, not only that we're celebrating that, but a lot of people are embracing that as well. So afro is definitely like the big thing.
Short hair,
as far as hair,
you know, short hair, natural hair. But no, we see that Africa.
That's even Lupita.
Yes,
I mean, she went out there and she did her thing. Like she made it bold to have short hair, nappy hair, or like, you know, whichever way you want to wear it. But you can still be classy and look fabulous. So, Yeah, definitely. I think natural hair is coming back.
Now let me get to David's music, because David, music is amazing. I can't stay without music in my car, in my house, everywhere, even in the office. I have to hear some music to keep me going. Let's talk about what stands out in terms of, when you think about, you talked about Rumba and like in Congo, you know, the DRC, that Central Africa area, we think drums, we think some sort of banger, but the beat itself, the Lingala.
The Lingala, know?
And
you know,
you've talked to a cross-section of people from Africa in your show about the African beat. Tell us a little bit of, you know, what stands out when you think North African music, Southern African music, Central, East African.
Well, everything that stands up about African music is the beat, the rhythm.
The instrument.
You know, the kind of instrumentation, the way it is being put together. Like I said, if the beat is not there, if you don't feel it, you have to feel the beat. You have to feel the African beat, you know, to feel the African music. And that is why, like we're talking about the Afro beat today, you know, when you look at the way it is taking wave across Africa and the world. Even here, like we're talking about the restaurants that are being developed here, African restaurants, that is the way the African music is now going even into the nightclubs. Because before now, you go to nightclubs here in America, you don't hear African music. But these days, you hear African music in the nightclubs because people love it. And even the Americans now, they dance to they teach themselves how to dance to the Durobuchi, you know, from Nigeria. You understand what I mean? So, and the Azonto, even the Azonto, you love to see the white people dancing to Azonto, you know. So without the beats, there is no African music. And so that is what we have to maintain. We have to make sure we maintain that beat so that when the African beat, when the drums are beating, you feel it. Because when you feel the music, it penetrates into the soul.
And we're going to hear that from Mr. Saunders in a few minutes, because I'm sure he's listened to music, he's been dancing to the music, and what the music culture, the music brings into the African beauty. But I have a caller from Nigeria. Patrick, you're very welcome to Straight Talk Africa. What's your question?
Yeah, good evening. That's Patrick Okra for Arachukwu here in Nigeria. You see, when we talk about African beat, the rhythm alone has a meaning. It has a lot of adage. Because any beat like music played by Osadebe, Victor Wifo, name them. All these things, they have to read them. And when you see them, you memorize them, and it has meaning to you. Now, what I want to find out from our guests in the studio, when we talk about African music and the rest, why is it that it is the old men that are interested about the African music? The youth of today, they are not interested. What they are reading about the rock and roll, name them, blues and the rest. But African music, majority of the lovers are old people. Why is it so? Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Very good question, Patrick, there from Nigeria. You know, David, it's coming to you. I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
This is, Africa is really, you know, kind of copying a lot of American music.
Yeah.
And the rap music, which, well, forgive me because I can't cope with that. Because sometimes I don't hear what is being said. But take the question.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, there is this fusion with the generation of today. You know, like he was talking about the olden days, you know, the old people go with African music. Like we have the Afro Juju, the King Sonia days, the Osita Osadebes of Nigeria, all this high life kind of Afro Juju music. But what is happening right now, like I talked about in the late 1940s and 50s, when the Cuban music penetrated into Africa, especially into Central, to the Democratic Republic of Congo at that time, that music was transformed. You know, listening to the Congolese, to the Cuban style of music, they started singing in a different way. And so what they did, they transformed that kind of music into rumba. You know, so that is exactly what is happening today with the current generation. Hip-hop has taken over the young generation. So what is happening? That is what is being changed now to hip life, using the African beat, you know, taking some of the old African songs, you know, blending it with the hip hop to make it hip life. So It is the fusion. Fusion is there. We cannot beat it. The young generation is the young generation.
You being one from Sierra Leone, you're going to tell us everything there is in music. Let's hear from Mr. Saunders, who is African-American, with the kind of music you've seen and how even the clubs that, you know, are there today in Africa, because they're part of tourism. When a tourist goes on safari or goes to visit a beautiful place, whatever country of Africa, they want to end up somewhere, eat a good meal, and listen to music. Some of the music that has really been something you savored and you cannot forget about.
Oh, well, the drums, again, is most important to me. You can just close your eyes after a safari or after a long day out and just listen to the drum beat. It reaches out to you. It talks to your soul. And you get captured into it. And even if you don't have rhythm, you follow the rhythm beat, and next thing you know, the Africans, they pull you into the, and you're dancing right amongst them, and you just feel so relaxed. So I think the drum beat, but the uniqueness of some of the instruments also, because when you see these instruments, the sounds that can come out of them are so phenomenal. It's like you've never seen this before. That musician is so talented. We have to have more of that here in America. And so I think that the commentary from my colleague, the fusion, they're starting to connect, they're starting to be more exposed. And you see most of the hip-hop rap artists, when they go to Africa, they copy what they have seen in Africa, mm-hmm. and they fuse it back into their music here in America.
Okay, and Leet, coming back to the African couture, let's talk about dressing Africans in terms of the fabric, in terms of the techniques, especially when you think about embroidery. You know, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of hours to get that done. How are we doing in that industry, even on the international scene, to bring out the best of Africa's couture?
Well, we are doing it good in terms of bringing it in Africa itself, but in terms of crossing and bringing it here, it's a bit more difficult, especially because the fashion now has bloom, and there's a way of making things very affordable. And you know, because the African fashion is still new, we're still trying to find ways to be able to do things that usually we do on the custom made level and doing it on the more large level and distribute it to a more large market. So in terms of that, I think that we still have some way to go, but I don't think that it would take more than 2 years for Africa to be, for African clothing to be all over the place, even in stores like H&M and things like that, thing with embroidery, you know, and things like that.
And in terms of your, like, African Alua, I see some of the fabrics, they are very African prints, but then again, you infuse the modern kind of clothing,
yeah.
You infuse the American touch of the clothing, the European, and so it comes out very, very differently, but it does come out beautifully.
Yes, it's just like David was saying, everything is about evolving, right? So just like the music evolved, the fashion itself also evolved. We embrace our culture, but we also embrace the Western culture. And the Western, they do the same thing. They also tend to go in Africa to grab some inspiration in order to do their collection and things like that. So it's important for us to not only wear our own thing, but also see other people wear it. So the way we attract them is by also, you know, infusing the culture into the what we're doing. So, yes, that's what you'll see. Like, just the dress I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. This is totally African, but yeah. On top, this is more of a Western fabric.
Very Western. But yeah. one of the things I see we agree on is that Africa is beautiful. It's a continent to visit, traverse from north to the south, east to west, everywhere, listen to the music, enjoy the food. But then again, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Leet Kevine Chanchu, a designer with African Allure, David J. Saunders, CEO at Benue International Professionals, and David Bandy, VOA host and producer of African Beat. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Buddy. And on behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. A very good night to you all from Washington. David.